This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans. The following is testimony by Dr. LaDonna Pivetti, the director of the Center's Welfare Reform and Income Support Division. She discusses the safety net's response to the recession before the U.S. House of Representatives Ways and Means Subcommittee on Income Security and Family Support on October 8, 2009.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me to be here today. What I'd like to do is to start my testimony with two key points, which I will then elaborate on. First, as many of you know, and the poverty statistics were released recently, that poverty increased last year, and it is certain to increase even further in 2009 and into 2010. However, I think it's important to talk about the number of people who could have been in poverty and that would have been even greater if the Recovery Act that was passed earlier this year didn't include provisions to actually provide additional support to people who are in need. And second, I would like to talk about the TANF program, which has been highly responsive to increasing unemployment and poverty in only a few states. And this is in contrast to the SNAP program, also known as the food stamp program, which has responded quickly and effectively to increase poverty and employment in all the states. First, the chairman, when you gave your remarks, you noted the analysis that the Center on Budget did on the Recovery Act. That analysis looked at seven provisions of the Recovery Act and estimated that there are 60.2 million people fewer in poverty as a result of those provisions. I think an important point about that is that only covers seven provisions, and those provisions only cover about a quarter of the Recovery Act funding, so that it's missing a lot of what's happening. And one piece that is not included in our analysis is the $5 billion that was included in the Emergency Contingency Fund for TANF. And that fund was created so that it is available to states who provide more cash assistance to families, who spend more on providing emergency assistance to families so that they can stave off crises, and to create the new subsidized employment program, some of which you've heard about already. Those funds have made it possible for states to meet the increased demand for assistance. It has made it possible for them to avoid significant cuts in human services, and it has also helped them to maintain their commitment to provide work opportunities for TANF recipients. And I'm going to use Oregon as an example. We've done a preliminary analysis looking at some increase in caseloads, and Oregon has, in the period we're looking, which is from March 2008 to March 2009, experienced more than a doubling of the number of people who are unemployed. So they've been hit hard by the recession. They are serving an additional 6,000 families more a month in their TANF program, and that in the most recent sort of iteration actually is an increase of 35% in their caseload. They are expecting to draw down over the next 2 years $74.9 million from the TANF Emergency Fund. And without that addition in funding, one thing they would have done was they would have completely eliminated their TANF program for unemployed two-parent families. And they would have reduced eligibility for employment-related child care. They also had some other cuts which would have affected people applying for disability and for newly employed families where they would have had to reduce those. They were able to maintain those programs because of the additional funding. We also know that states are, at least 10 states, and we're sure there are more that are out there that we don't know of, are planning to create or expand subsidized employment programs so that they really can provide work opportunities and not lose the work focus of the TANF program. California, as an example, is planning to draw down $300 million from the emergency fund to create a subsidized employment program, and Los Angeles alone is planning to provide jobs for 10,000 individuals who would otherwise not have them. San Francisco has an existing program that they're planning to expand to for an additional 1,000 programs. And states are being creative in the way they use those funds. New York is an example. New York is planning to have expand an existing transitional jobs program, but they're also planning to do a health outreach program so that they can both get people the health benefits they need while they're providing those jobs, and they're also planning to do a green jobs program, which will help to spur the development of those jobs. Florida provides an example where they have a county much like was described in Tennessee that had huge layoffs, and in that what they're doing is they're using employees subsidize employees to staff a call center to try and address the increased demand. So they're both addressing the needs of people who need the jobs as well as helping to provide better customer service to people. Now what I'd like to do is to talk a little bit about just the overall responsiveness. And I'd like to start with SNAP just because as it provides, I think, an important contrast to what's happening in TANF. Caseloads in the SNAP program are at an all-time high. They've increased by 30% since the beginning of the economic downturn, and caseloads have increased in every state. So it really has been effective and systematic across the board. TANF is really a very different story, and I think as everybody is aware, it really is. There are lots of differences across state in how TANF operate. But in TANF, what has happened, caseloads have been responsive to increasing poverty and rising unemployment in only a minority of the states. So when we have done a preliminary analysis, 45 states, we're working on getting the data so that we have it for all the states. And there are 27 states that we would categorize as being very minimally responsive. And those states, their caseloads have increased by no more than 5%. And there are about 10 of those states in which caseloads have actually declined. And this is looking for the period from March 2008 and March 2009, where you would expect caseloads, and certainly food stamps in that time period have gone up by 20%. There are only five states in our analysis that we would characterize as being highly responsive, and that's having caseload increases that have increased by at least 15% or more. And, Mr. Chairman, that does include your home state of Washington. And as the chairman noted in his testimony, it's important to note of where we were starting when we started this, and that TANF over time has served a decreasing share of people who are eligible. So in 1995, served about 80% of eligibles, but by 2005, which was before the situation we're in, there were only 40% served. So we were starting at a low point. So why hasn't TANF been responsive? I think we don't know all the answers to that. I mean, there's much more that we could learn, but I think there are some things that we probably do know. One is that for the last 13 years, we really have had a focus on decreasing caseloads, and it's been very slow to be able to shift that focus. The other is that states and many states have put policies and procedures in place that make it very difficult to actually get onto the program or to stay on the program. And then there are also families who choose not to pursue benefits, either because of the stigma, because they don't think they're eligible, or they have hit time limits and they expect they will not be eligible and may not be. What I'd like to do now is to focus on just two strategies. There are more in my written testimony about things that I think we can do to actually try and address some of these needs. The first that I'd like to focus on is eliminating the incentive in TANF for states to serve fewer poor families in their TANF programs, even when poverty is increasing. TANF, what's interesting about the TANF program that is different from the SNAP program is it really tries to serve two very different functions. So it has a safety net function and it has an employment function. And the way we have structured the incentives in the system, those two functions are at odds with each other, and we end up not doing either one of them well. So I think one of the things that we need to be thinking about when TANF is reauthorized is how can we come up with an improved incentive system and measures for performance in the system that really allow the states to achieve both of those functions and do both of them well. It isn't moving away from an employment focus. Again, it's trying to figure out how do you provide assistance for families when they are in crisis, as some of our witnesses describe, and how do you also really help them to improve their long-term employment outcomes so that they can move and take care of their own needs. The second that I'd like to focus on, and Larry Michel actually just referenced to this as well, is to phase down state fiscal relief more gradually than is currently planned. It's important when we're considering is realizing that there really is, when you're thinking about the safety net, is not losing sight of how long-term the consequences of this are going to be. And despite improvements in the economy as a whole, we anticipate that state fiscal conditions into fiscal year 2011 and 2012 will look at least as bad as those as they are now, and that the current recovery funds have been effective at helping states to fill those budget gaps, but they are going to need assistance as they sort of try and climb out of this. And I think it's also important, if we're moving in that direction, to send a signal soon about whether or not that's going to happen, because states begin to do their budget cycles very early, and the signals will be important about what they do. Finally, I just want to summarize my points. And one is, I think it's important that the stimulus has worked to reduce poverty, and things would be worse than they are if we had not included money to help people in need. And I think the other is that we really do need to think about why TANF has not been a primary support and has not been able to help more families when they are then there is lots of needs available, and how we can strengthen that program during reauthorization for the long term. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can follow us on Twitter at Center on Budget, find us on Facebook, or create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.